I am recording. Welcome, Titans Mastermind, to this summit of what we can do during this. I hear there's a pandemic. I'm not so sure. I'm trying to get some information on it. When I find out if there is one, I'll let you know. Oh, sorry. I think that first of all, there's some new members on the call. I just want to introduce, as I haven't been as good about this. So first of all, I want to introduce Marco Luzzo and Francesco from Italy. I met them in Italy, and Marco Luzzo is like the top copywriter in Italy. And so I went to lunch with them after the event, two days after the event in Florence. And I didn't even, you know, I'm the director of sales prevention. I didn't even try to sell them on this group, but they were very eager to join the group. They are translating my book into Italian, all not expected. So, but they are wonderful people, and I'll send their bios to everybody, and so you can see what they're all about. But they're just really awesome. And anyway, I just want you to know that they're here. And also, I think I might have introduced Tom Foster and Molly before briefly, but Tom Foster came to me from Ben Glass, and in just the short time I've gotten to know him, I've already seen what he's doing, and he's going to fit right into this group because he's sending out emails about what people can do. He's a media specialist, but he's a lot more than that, and he's got a big heart, and I really and so does Molly, and I love having you guys in the group, so thank you for stepping up. So thank you. So just the first thing I want to do is just lay out what we'll do on this call today. I think everybody on this call, just about, I've spoken to one-on-one. I've spoken to more than 20 of you one-on-one, and it's fascinating how everybody, when I got on the call with them, it wasn't like I'm screwed. I can't do anything. It was just the opposite. It was like, what am I going to do to over-deliver to my customers, to my clients, even if I can't see them? Like Noda can't see clients in his office, but what else can he do in the meantime? And we just brainstormed, and it was fantastic. And so I'm going to, you know, if you don't volunteer, I'm going to put you on the spot, because I've talked to you one-on-one, and I know you all have great ideas. Just some overview stuff that I've heard from a lot of people here is that, like, in messaging, for instance, there's no one way to deal with COVID-19, the coronavirus, the pandemic, but there are many ways not to deal with it. And so I think we have to weigh some of those things where, you know, if you're going to, you know, put in a subject line, you know, COVID-19 pandemic, what do you do? It could work, but it's not probably the best way to do it, because everybody is overloaded with that stuff. Now, you don't want to disguise it either. And that seemed to be the general impression, that with your businesses, and each business is different, that you want to, you know, call out the elephant in the room, but it's not the most important thing once you call it out, because the most important thing is to come up with ways to either, you know, attack it, ideas that can be used that will help your customers and your prospects too. I mean, it's not the worst time in the world to go after cold lists and cold traffic. I do think, though, that in general, everybody said that you have to take care of your house file, your customers, your students, your patients, your you know, those are the people, because it's a rule of thumb, you know, it's always easy to keep a customer than to get a new one. And that's more prevalent now than ever before. And so even if they can't write you a check and they can't buy your product right now, you've got to stay in contact with them. Like, I'm staying in contact with you, but that's small compared to, you know, David Long, who's got these amazing clients, and staying in touch with them and making sure that when this is over, that you can come back to them with confidence that, you know, they will come back. But you've got to give them stuff. You've got to be, you know, supportive of them. You've got to hear what they're saying. I did that. I had a brainstorm with Noda about you can't crack their back in person, but what can you do? What can you drop ship supplements? Can you drop ship? You know, can you give them a 15-minute consultation and then give them a free back crack when this is over? There's so many things that we can all do, and we'll get a lot of input from a lot of people. Jeremy Hunsaker is not here. I guess you saw his wife is at Duke, and it's a tough situation, but she got a better diagnosis. It was really bleak for a while. It was a stage 4 cancer, and now the Duke has re-diagnosed her. So he's really upbeat about it. Of course, he's really paranoid about going to North Carolina and exposing her to the anybody in that hospital. And she's had some chemo, or some radiation. So, but anyway, he gave me just something that I think is food for thought, that he has a supplement that has 3 natural ingredients to it. And one of the ingredients is actually very good for lung function. It was good for lung function before COVID-19. So it's in the sales letter, and he doesn't mention it in the email that goes to the sales letter. So but to emphasize that, you know, he doesn't have to. So there's like a lot of things you can do. So, you know, he can do, as a PS in the email, you know, and by the way, this 3rd ingredient is also good for lung function. Click here. And he doesn't have to do anything, because anybody who's following this, and we're all following it probably too closely. I'm watching way too much news, and I tell people not to watch the news, but I'm watching it every day. And I think that it's fascinating that all he has to do is do a PS about that, and he's got, you know, it's going to add clicks. It's going to add people to go check it out, because everybody knows this is a lung disease or a lung virus. So things like that, and I think we all have stuff in our toolbox that we can do regarding that. Trian has a product that it's basically a product that was like, I think it's a couple of years old or longer, and it's a product to what do you do when you can't find a doctor? What do you do when you can't find a doctor? It's a perfect product for his niche, but do you have to do anything with that about COVID? You don't. And it's actually better to not, you know, that you basically say, you know, when you can't find a doctor, you know, this is it. And I think he's revising some copy, and I'll let Tryon tell us about that. And then like the financial people, like I know Legacy was telling me that, you know, a new financial offer, instead of saying, you know, you can't predict this stock market, but what they can do is, you know, they could go daily with, a volatile, what do you do with a volatile stock market? And you change your messaging daily. And I'll let Ian and Walter talk about this too, because they have, you know, they just added a product. Like, this is over deliver, but they added a product that is like, I don't know if it's daily, but it's a few times a week, or at least once a week, about a coronavirus update and the markets. And so anybody who's freaked out about, you know, if I say something on Tuesday, it changes by Thursday, because that's like 2 days is like 2 weeks. And to have regular correspondence. In fact, I think some people are going to tell me stuff today that they were not even thinking about when I talked to them a week ago, you know, something like that. So I think, you know, keep repeating and not the same messaging. You have to go live once in a while. There's a guy in my Jeff Walker group, Stu McLaren, who had a launch schedule for April 23rd. And he was freaked out about, how do I message that? Because all my stuff is pre-recorded already. He's ready to go. And it'll come off as tone deaf to what's going on. So, and then if he does it, like he records everything, by the time he goes live, it's going to be out of date. So he's going to do a live launch. And I thought that was, you know, it's a lot more work to go live for the entire launch, but that is an interesting thing to do given the situation. Let me see. I mean, I guess a lot of, you know, 'cause I've been on, if you looked at any of my blogs or stuff that I've been on social media, that I had a call with Frank Kern, and Frank was saying, you know, I'm going out with my he basically says an economic downturn is a choice, and that's his attitude, that if you make the choice, it'll be an economic downturn. And so he is going full boat. He's actually going out with his current sales letters and emails without anything. And because it does well, his audience, I'm not saying this as a negative, but there are a lot of internet cowboys, a lot of people who are just, you know, trying to, and they don't want to hear about COVID. They just want to hear about the next thing. But he said he would change his messaging should there be a downturn in some sort. I don't know if Justin Goff is on the call, and if he is, I'm going to put him on the spot too, because Justin told me that, I guess he said 80% of his people that he coaches, the copywriters, the mailers, whatever, the marketers, I always say mailers, I'm still old fashioned. So the marketers are all like crushing it, right? They're all doing great. And I it could be true. And my experience, and I just shared it with him, is that a lot of people in this environment, their ego doesn't allow them to tell the truth. And so, you know, they want to tell you how great they're doing, and they might tell you, oh, I'm 100% up, but they're only 10% up. Or they might be saying they're 10% up and they're 30% down. I just gave that out. I couldn't prove it. And that's just from my experience over 40 years and over getting, I've seen too many of these. I know John Carlton was on a interview yesterday, and he says, oh, this is only the 20th time I've been through this kind of thing. And I realized how many of these things I've been through. This one's different, but I've been through so many of these that, you know, I think people generally lie about how well all they're doing. And then the people that Justin said that, like he said, he had 20% of his people that talked about being down. And I would suggest if they're saying they're 20% that are down, they're probably down more than they're saying. That's just my opinion. And I have a rule of thumb. You double or cut in half to the detriment or advantage, no matter what. So if someone says I'm 50% up, so they're 25% up. If they say they're 50% down, then they're 100% down. That's just my rule of thumb. It's mathematical and it's very precise. The thing about Frank, my call with Frank, though, where we ended up with an incredible idea and we both built on it, was when he talked about calling up college students and employing them, not hopefully socially distant employment, but he had an idea of taking like a menu. The thing is, I've been quarantined since I got back from Italy, and that's been like 4 weeks basically, and I haven't gotten one thing in my mailbox from a local restaurant, for example, and to me that's a crime. And so if you have you don't want to just throw the menu in either. I mean, Frank and I started brainstorming about, you do a menu, like a one pager, and you say, I want to cook you dinner tonight. And you put your specialties of the house right on the front page with a line through the price and a discount. And then at the bottom, you give your phone number, but then you say, I'm going to call you and hopefully you can make a reservation so I can cook you dinner. And I just think being proactive, and that's the big point. If you're not a restaurant, it might not directly apply, but it's incredible how much you can do when you are being proactive, and it's a differentiator, because I'm saying so many people are not being proactive. In our world, I mean, I've been on the Eben Pagan calls. I've been on my Jeff Walker mastermind calls. Those people are all being proactive. Those people are all going to save the world. I mean, they're the best of the best, but that's like, this much of marketers, this much of copywriters, and you guys are in the same boat as those guys. I mean, you guys are saving the world. So I just want you to be aware that, you know, the idea of being proactive and doing things that no one else is doing, it's kind of like when I talk to college students and I say to them, you know, do you send an email after you interview with somebody, how many of you send an email? 300 kids in the room, everybody raises their hand. And then I say, and then I was being an asshole, but I was being snarky because I had a piece of paper and a paperclip on the podium with me. And I said, how many people know what this is? And they're looking at me like, it's paper, yeah. And how, and anybody know what this is? And they say, oh, a paperclip. And I said, how many of you actually send a meaningful package to the people you interview with a handwritten note, with a book that you discussed, with an article about someone you talked about or something like that? And I'm like, how many people have done that? No one raises their hand. And then I whisper into the microphone, by the way, no one else is doing that. And, you know, but that's the same principle now. You know, you can find ways to get to your audience in ways that no one else is doing right now. I think Jeff and I talked about that on our call. I talked about it with a lot of people. And so maybe this is more of a rerun, but I want to emphasize that. Hopefully Lori Haller is on the call, because we talked about design. There's colors and fonts that are better for this environment. There really are. I mean, I wouldn't do black and red boardroom bold right now, unless you want to go for the fear. And I don't think that's the best way to go. You'll probably make some sales and you'll get some complaints and all of that. I don't know. I mean, maybe I'll make a little less sales and I'll keep customers for life if I do a little less, black and red boardroom bold. And so Lori, if she's on the call, I mean, she might be coming on later. Paris Lampropoulos' mother passed away. So I think David and Lori are both at the funeral, but I think it's 11:30, so they might come on before 2 o'clock. And then there's the make or buy, which I mentioned. And I think Noda's thinking of doing that, where you can basically, you don't have to make everything. You can go buy something. And even if you're buying something that you're not gonna charge for, or you're gonna charge people costs for, the goodwill that you're gonna, I mean, it always pays to put out goodwill, do it 100-0, see what happens. The Steves, I was talking to them about the idea of, they have an upsell to their program. What can you do to make that upsell to new people more attractive with and again, this is discounting and pricing. Maybe, you know, don't pay anything now, we won't charge you for 3 months. I mean, those are all the things. Everything is in your toolbox right now. And I heard so much from so many people. There was a guy in my Jeff Walker group that gave away 10,000 free memberships to his offer. He's in the herb market. Now, I mean, not this herb, but you know what I mean. And although that would be a good giveaway, actually, now that I'm thinking about it. But he was giving away 10,000 memberships, and it's all digital content. It's not costing him anything. And he's not going after more sales. And I'll guarantee that if he, this is what, you know, one of the things, Joe and I talk about this all the time with Dan Sullivan. It's the five ways you get paid, and the fifth is cash. So, you know, if he can get them to utilize, if you can get them to utilize that membership, if he enhances them with that free membership, if he appreciates them with it, and he can refer them, he'll make money without even selling. And so that goes without saying. And then the big thing that we have is we have an asset we all have is a little more time, which is obvious. And I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but giving your time to people is just a great thing to do. Whether it leads to business or not. And I know all of you are doing that, because I've talked to many of you, and you're all giving more than people would ever expect. And then just on live events, there was a link in my blog last week to a presentation. It's a long presentation, but it's well worth watching. Whether you do live events, whether you're thinking about live events, or you're going to think about it in the future, from Barry and Blue, Barry Baumgartner and Blue Melnick, who have spoken for us. I would encourage you to go look at their presentation in the Titans portal, but this was a brand new presentation. It was on Facebook, and I gave a link. If anybody wants that link, I can send that to you as well. I think that's all I'm going to say right now. We've got some time to sort of hash around those ideas, other ideas, anything you want to disagree with me, I'm fine. I don't claim to have all the answers, but I just wanted to give you kind of like what I was hearing from everybody I've spoken to, both in this group and in the Eben Pagan group and in the in my Jeff Walker group. And there's just a lot of really ideas swimming around. And so does anybody want to volunteer to go first, or I'll call on you? But does anybody want to volunteer?
I have to leave in a few minutes because
Ben, go.
Yes. I managed to injure myself in a home gym. So just as a reminder, we run two businesses. We're a personal injury law firm and we're an info marketing business to lawyers. And I'll just, so one thing while you were speaking, Brian, you know, I have a quote book and a great quote from Henry Ford that I try to live by is, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're exactly right. And so I'll just report, and Charlie Mann is on the call too, and he can tell you a little bit about the info business, but from our business, look, we're fortunate. We're being paid for work we've done in the last 6 to 18 months. We just had a meeting. We're good through the end of the year just on stuff that we have. So we're well positioned. But I think importantly, and I've been on a number of these calls with different groups that I'm in, and was on a call with my top level mastermind group. And it's interesting because you get in a group like this and it's closed, and it's, we're saying to each other, it's okay to say that we're actually excited, maybe isn't the right word, but these are the most interesting times. And yesterday in our call, it's like, you know, never before have we had this management leadership challenge. So you've got figuring out to do with your own team. But I've said this to you, and I think we had, I can't now remember if this group had a group call 2 weeks ago. I think we did. But, you know, there's just this huge leadership vacuum. And so one of the things Charlie and I are looking at, and is like, what are the bar associations around the country doing? Well, the answers are doing nothing. They're doing nothing like this. And so we see that as major opportunity to just re-cement our place as philosophical kings on this. But I'll tell you that the lawyers, even the lawyers who are more cash basis, so the guy who makes his living doing DUI, criminal defense, at least in my top group, they're up. Right. And I don't think it's total BS when they tell me that they're redeploying paralegals to marketing people. They're getting their marketing in line. They're doing stuff they were too busy to do before. And, you know, we hope that that's all sustainable for them. The other thing for all of our businesses is when this is over, and it's going to be over, right, there's going to be a deluge of in Trump's words, right, pent up demand. No matter what your business, that's just going to be there. And so, you know, we're looking around, like, who's getting laid off? Who's good, right? Where's the win-win? What's the hiring we can do? That's, so my view of the world is you can think or not. I choose to think. You can think positively or negatively. I choose to think positively. I'm often accused of being the most unrealistically positive guy. But I think it's all about the choices that you make. Yes, this is hard. There's a lot of people that are suffering. I frankly have less time because I'm dealing with so much, like, you know, requests for financial data, because we are going through the process, right, of making sure that we have a net for us, right? And just with, you know, working at home, we've all discovered that that's like almost horrible, right? It's really hard to get stuff. You have less time to get stuff done. And the last thing I'll say is you were right. There's an enormous amount of talent out there at the college level and even at the high school level of kiddos who are looking for stuff to do, and they're really good at something, many of them. So, right. So we just choose to play in the opportunity world, cementing all of our relationships and being the ones in the community who are putting meetings like this together, right? So if I've got healthcare provider friends, let's sit down on a Zoom meeting. Let's do this. Other small biz, let's do this. Because when we come out of the end of this, there'll be people who will be remembered for the way that we handled the situation, the way that we assumed a leadership position. You know, I like you, I'm a political junkie, and I do watch way too much of that stuff. But I do think that Cuomo's got this right, because he gets up there and he says, this is hard shit, right? We don't know all the answers. We've never done this before, but we're going to fight like hell to be the ones who are out on the other end. That's at least how I hear his message. And I think all of us have that opportunity. So anyway, that's, I mean, nothing very specific, I do think, so we, one of the things we've recommended to our lawyers, everyone has a COVID-19 a banner now at the top of their websites, which says basically this: we're still busy. We're taking your calls. We are, you know, working from home, so it might be a little bit delayed, but however you want to communicate with us, we're open. And then so at least we're reinforcing that message that we're still a vibrant ongoing, and it's true. Obviously, leads are down, no one's driving.
Right.
But and again, anybody could do that, sort of the reinforcement of the mental image that everything's good here and we want to help you and we're available to help you by whatever media you want to interact with us.
Yeah, I would just add a couple of things from our call. That one is that the idea of you know, snatching up people that other people have laid off, you know, you're not going after them, you're trying to hire them. And I think you have to get over that initial, any of you, I don't know if you have this, but any of that initial feeling that, and maybe you just hire them, you know, temporary anyway, if they're just furloughed or something like that, but there's a lot of talent that's available. And I think that was one of Ben's big messages. Also, like in your business, you have a lot of personal injury attorneys, and personal injury is usually based on, I'm not saying it's all, but it's a lot of car accidents. And so people aren't driving. And so one of the things that we discussed was, well, you know, if you're doing personal injury, and but you've done other types of law that might be more applicable, for example, wills and trusts, which is the kind of thing that no one wants to do, but they might do at this particular time. Or I was thinking, you know, I got the stats from China, you know, that you know, divorces are way up. So, you know, maybe you know, I'm not saying you would go out to your audience and say, need a divorce attorney because you've been cooped up with your wife or husband for the last 6 weeks. But, you know, there are opportunities in that. And you could, even if you don't do that kind of law, you could refer somebody, you could take a little piece of it, you could do some work on it. I don't know how the legal profession really works on referrals, but I'm sure there's stuff you could do.
But here's the principle that anybody, I think, can apply, is that we, the folks in groups like this, have a broad range of experience, right? We do know a lot about a lot, even if it's not like the thing that we actually do. And so being the one that says, look, if you're distressed, you can't figure out how to pay your rent, you can't figure out how to sell more stuff out of your restaurant, whatever, at least be the one that says, hey, let me organize the group. Let's put good ideas. And we keep reinforcing the message that what does make America great is that we're willing to put ideas on the table and debate them and flesh them out. We're willing to try and fail. Oops, now we found it, right? That's what made us the greatest country, right, ever. And so, I think you need to be the philosophical leader, guy and gal doing that, or I think it's at least a space that you can play it. So Charlie may have some more points. I gotta go get some work done. My injury.
And okay, well, Robert wants to say something. So
The only other thing I would double down on that, Ben, I think it's really, really brilliant, is that also be a leader within your own team. That it's very easy right now to be focused on the outward world and not, and then especially when you're not necessarily seeing everybody, that, you know, somebody from customer service may have one perspective of a problem, somebody from marketing will have another, somebody from, you know, product creation will have something else, and they're each kind of pulling their own direction. And now more than ever, you can't, you know, things are changing so much in a day, you can't afford a half a day of somebody confused. And then secondly, even though we're in a good place as leaders, our people are just as stuck as the lowest common denominator out there. And we've got to help them see that they are safe, that they help them feel good about their position in the same way that we're working with our customer list.
Exactly. All that philosophical mindset stuff that we are good at, mm-hmm. You are exactly right. We don't want to skip over the fact of our people in our own homes and the people in our own building. Right?
Yeah, great point.
And that's what we're good at. This is what, you know, this is our, all of us have this unique ability, I think, or else you wouldn't be, you know, in a group like this running businesses like we do.
Stay strong, Ben. Great to see you.
I'll get to you later, Charlie, because we just had Ben. I want to go to Robert now, because you can lead into what you're doing. Because I think what you're doing is brilliant in terms of you're doubling down, using that term again, on what you do, which is retention. So can you talk about some of the things that you're doing to make sure that, you know, you're retaining and you're building your business?
Yeah. So for my clients, you know, kind of like what Ben was saying about thought leader, really helping them focus on communicating and being a thought leader within their world. Second, that team aspect, that you can't skip that base right now. You got to be checking in with your people and helping them understand that their best path out is, you know, the path that you're laying in front of them. And then also getting their feedback, because often, you know, when we're working at home, we're often cut off from, you know, being able to overhear a phone call here or there, or seeing things move by, or seeing something that's been, that's printing on the copier, and it's like, you know, what the heck is this? And so we don't have that sort of access that we have been having to be able to manage just by seeing things. And so we've got to be more communicative with our internal team. The third thing that I'm working with our clients on is really a customer focus rather than a product focus, which is a constant battle that, you know, they're thinking, how do I, what webinars, what calls, what events, how do I, they're so focused on what they're delivering that they're not focused on listening. And the most important thing that I've observed is that everything has changed. So what was true about what our customers wanted 2.5 weeks ago is now completely different. Really, like the things that are, like, I've got one that, you know, that's totally flipped. Instead of wanting marketing, the number one thing they want is business systems. They want to systemize their business right now because they're finding out that they're that everything's falling apart because nobody's able to talk. So your chances are, everything you knew about your customers 2.5 weeks ago is now different. The next is really optimizing each step of the member journey. This was something I learned in 2010 when I was working, well, I still work with Harley-Davidson dealers. And when we were really able to bring the Harley dealers out of that last recession, by focusing on each step of their customer journey. And, you know, we had door swings, logbook entries, test drives, sit downs, write ups, and bell rings. So those are the kind of the steps to a motorcycle sale. And you'd measure each percentage of door swings to logbook entries, and logbook entries to test drives, and test drives to sit downs. And you do it as a dealership, and then you do it by salesperson. And, you know, and now, of course, you know, I'm sure all of you have got online funnels, and, you know, the cost to acquire a customer, we may as well assume that it's going to increase, that people are more hesitant to buy. So right now, let's just assume that it's going to cost us each more to get a new customer. So let's do what we can to optimize each step of that journey, so that we're getting as much value as possible out of each lead that we get. And then finally, it's never been more important to have cash flow forecasts. And I get that it's challenging, in particular with continuity. You're not sure necessarily who's going to cancel in April, but we've got to get something on the books and some sort of forecast of where we are, and what our kind of glide path is, so that we're able to make decisions. Those are the things that I'm really focused with my clients on. And I've got a new program coming out in a week after next. I'm going to have a kind of a pre-launch webinar. And it's really, I'm providing folks with a marketing plan that, so it's for subscription businesses, and really subscription businesses that are kind of $50 million a year in revenue and above. But, and it certainly would be appropriate for anybody, but that's kind of my target market. And I'm helping them, giving them a two-page membership retention plan. And it's blank, and that's part of what we're giving out on the webinar. And also a blank 100-day communication plan so that they can optimize their onboarding and their communication. And a kind of a blank cash flow forecast spreadsheet that they can use. And kind of the webinar is kind of teaching what I've been doing with my clients. And if they would like me to work with them and their staff to help them create their membership retention plan, and to help them create their 100-day communication program, and to help them create their cash flow forecast, well, then we've got a series of webinars coming up, and they can get on together with their team, and I'll help the group and them go through each of these so that they can create their own program. So kind of what I'm doing is I'm giving the prescription, then giving them the tools to use, and then if they want me to help them implement it, then there is this program. And we're going to make it very, very inexpensive, but that's just a very brief what I'm seeing with my clients, what I'm trying to help them do, and then kind of my little personal sales strategy for the next couple of weeks.
Actually, the biggest piece of news out of that was that you're doing a launch in a week in 2 weeks. That, you know, you're gonna launch right into it because, you know, it's retention. It's mm-hmm. everything that they need to do. And, you know, you'll give value. You know, your response rate could be a little lower than it normally would be, but they'll remember you, and then you'll stay with them, you know, because if they opt into the webinar, you have the list. You can massage them. You can mm-hmm. do a lot of things. And, you know, I think, you know, selling on the long term is what you have to do. But the fact that you're launching in 2 weeks is kind of interesting.
Yeah, I mean, there's 3.5 million unemployment applications last week. They expected 3 million this week. There was six.
No, there's 6 million this week.
There's 6 million this week. So, you know, people are stopping the automatic payment on their rent. They're going to stop their automatic payments on their subscription box.
Why do you think that? I think somebody would want a retention program more than living. I mean, they'll do the retention program out of their box.
They'll want the subscription. Yeah, yeah.
I hear you. I hear you.
Consumers the folks are getting crushed. Certainly the B2C subscription businesses are being decimated. I'm talking to them all the time. And they either need, like, you know, the NBA, they just made theirs free. Of course, they're not playing any games. So, you know, that was their approach. Talking to a lot of them, and it's really looking bad just the last 2 days.
Okay, thanks, Robert. David, you want to share some stuff, because a lot of the stuff that's coming up right now it reminds me of when you email the group or you talk about leadership, and so is there anything that you want to add? I didn't have a one-on-one with you, but I'm sure that you've seen a lot of things in the last couple of weeks.
Well, I can tell you, as a matter of fact, I just got a text a few minutes ago talking to my marketing director, and basically we're employee recognition is what we do. And we were talking, mute this so it didn't drive everybody crazy. A lot of companies are cutting people, and a lot of those people that were cut were friends of the people who still remain. So you have a challenge now that we've not faced, where the company culture could go down considerably. You know, one of the things that people in Gallup said that the 12 things that make people happy on their job is they look forward, they have a friend at work. Well, that friend might have just got cut. So now that work environment is completely different than it was a month ago. So you just have to have the communication with the people in our regard, you know, and we're talking about creating and interviewing some of our clients about that and see what the impact is, and talk to them about, hey, make sure you rally the troops, and that communication is more important now than at any time in a while, Oh, man.
How do you do that? And virtually, it's been good. I mean, a lot of people are saying that, you know, the virtual, when this is over, virtual is going to beat live. I don't think it's going to beat it, but it's certainly going to be more enhanced.
Indeed, it was more enhanced for sure. Matter of fact, I had, you know, I've had several meetings with my leadership team via Zoom. So it's been a godsend in that regard. I don't like to just hear. I like to see their face when I'm talking to them. I want to see facial expressions just like we're face to face. But bottom line on the leadership is you have to communicate now more than ever. I can tell you, you know, we're circling the wagons ourselves at some point here. 40%, not quite half, but 40% of my business is restaurants and hotels.
Right. You know,
Cheesecake Factory, for example, one key company is, you know, they just furloughed 41,000 people. That's pretty significant.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to make that much difference, but, you know, I think you have physical product too. So
I do.
It's a lot harder to give it away for free or do things that other people can do with digital.
Yeah.
But I think that if you could, you know, somehow, you know, get certain restaurants to take a more pro, because most restaurants are, I mean, not everyone, but a lot of them are open. They're cooking.
Proactive.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're doing curbside. I tell you, one company that's doing a phenomenal job on that is Red Robin. I have got probably 10 different communications from them. And we went and picked up, which is like 15, 20 minutes away. You know, we went and actually got the food, you know, and brought it back home.
Right.
You know, that's proactive. But the companies, and I've told my people that, thank God we are a proactive team, a company who our marketing is outbound. And we are contacting people. We're not sitting in a location waiting for people to come to us. So of all times for that to be majorly important, it's right now. Because I fear so much for those people who are relying on people to come in all the time, and now they can't come in. Their business has dried up to nothing. You know, I will say, we actually, because we started off so well in March, that we actually finished up with a 7% gain. But it was 20 some percent till the last 2 weeks. So, and that's real, Brian.
That's real.
I'm still coughing, by the way.
No, I was worried about you. Have you been tested?
I have. I've been to the doctor 4 times.
So no,
I'm on my 3rd round of different inhalers. But anyway, we don't want to get off on that. I appreciate the concern. Thank you. But I agree with what Robert said. Robert's business is going to be, he's going to be the busiest right now. Someone once said that someone's misfortune is someone else's opportunity. And Robert is in the best possible position of all of us, because his business is what everyone needs right now. So I think that's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, convincing them that they need it and them having the money to buy it is another issue. But yes,
true.
Right.
True.
Speaking of someone who's got a product that everybody wants right now, Trian, do you want to just share what you're doing right now with both the doctor product and anything else that you've been able to revive or do something with?
Yeah, well, my head's spinning with opportunities here, you know. So I'm trying to bookend the whole situation. Which means on one hand, we're trying to cut our costs, stay lean. But we are more profitable since before this whole thing, you know, started blowing up. And I do think that lots of people are still in denial in the US. So I think the survival market is going to do great in the coming week or so.
What about your messaging? I mean, do you think that the messaging needs to be really tame, or I'm sure there are survivalist people that are going after it like very aggressively.
So we have one offer that's mentioning like nothing, okay, on coronavirus. But it's health. It's a book of remedies. And it's selling really well. It was selling before. We haven't changed anything. So we're definitely benefiting from what probably all of you are seeing, you know, like cheaper traffic, lower competition, but also people being obsessed with everything health related. So it definitely works. I'm trying the opposite approach too, you know, so it's too early to comment on that. But I'm definitely going the opposite approach too. I'm still waiting for Peter Hoppenfeld. So if anyone's curious, I can comment on that after I get feedback on my on an aggressive sales letter that I wrote.
Right.
And aggressive, not in the sense of curing coronavirus or other, you know, bullshit like that. But just in mentioning it, you know.
By the way, if you want to send Peter another email, CC me and I'll try to.
No. The problem is not him.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
No, he's sometimes he's as you would imagine, he's swamped. Everybody is worried about compliance and what they can say, what they can't say. I think we sent a report that the FDA had gone after, you know, five companies already. It might be more by now.
I'll comment on that a little. We are doing some stuff. Like, we're still on ClickBank, although we're also moving to another platform. ClickBank has been crazy, crazy. Like, I've never seen them like this. And like, if you're familiar with ClickBank, they used to run all the health scams, right? And now with perfectly legitimate products, they're just giving us a really hard time, really hard time. Like, it's like, you cannot say even like a personal story or like really crazy. I don't know what's going on. I know it's got to do with maybe someone from Agora can comment, because they keep commenting on this. ClickBank keeps mentioning Agora and the lawsuits and so I don't know.
Yeah, I don't see nobody from Agora is on, but I'll probably ask David Deutsch, who's on now. He can comment on it possibly. But yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Other than that, I would love to hear from someone who is successfully doing this whole remote thing. I know Jesse Canone is good at it. He's not on the call. But we suck. But having said that, did a project. Sorry, Brian.
You're talking about internally with your company?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just managing the whole team remotely. Having said that, we did just launch a project, and it took us 3 weeks to do it. So I don't know. It feels I'm a firefighter these days.
I can tell you
it's
what
working, we, I guess, but it's crazy. It's absolutely batshit insane. David,
I think David wants to say something, but I want to go to, I want to get David and then Jeanette. Jeanette has some ideas on going virtual as well. But David, what are you going to say?
I was just going to say, we had one person virtually a month ago, and we have 3/4 of our people virtually right now. So what a shock. The good thing is that we had metrics in place to know what people were doing on a daily basis, and we're tracking all that. And we just told them, we expect you to maintain what you were doing when you were in the office. Do what you need to do. And we see those numbers every day. That's the good thing. There has to be accountability there. People are distracted. You know, we laugh about it, but yeah, you know, the refrigerator's, you know, in the next room, and you know, and you can the TV, you can have the TV on, and you get distracted, and all of a sudden you wasted hours. So Jeanette is, all of her people, I think, are virtual. So she's the one.
Jeanette, you were talking when we were talking about how you went all virtual before, and that you, and this might be an accelerator call with you as well, about if you're not virtual and you have to go virtual. You have any thoughts for Tryon or anybody else?
Yeah, certainly. So just a quick background. A few years ago, I had a call center about an hour away from my home. I had to drive through the snow and storms, and I was like, this is not the life for me. And so slowly we started transitioning people to work from home. And then I realized the overhead savings, and I was like, wow, this could change my life. And so fast forward, 100% virtual. We've got people in Canada, US, Egypt, Philippines, India, Pakistan, you name it. And I think one key thing for us that has really cemented the success is when we started, there was no Slack. So we're on Skype. I know a lot of people are using Slack these days, but that's the number one thing you need to do. You need to create that community. So whether you choose to go on Slack or Skype, I love Skype. That's, I think, a very basic seed. Every morning, hey, good morning, everyone. Sometimes I'm on the road and I'll send like an audio message or a video message if I don't have time to do a Zoom call, especially during this. Somebody else mentioned, I think it was Robert, about like leading the team and keeping them in a good state of mind. So that's like one thing you have to do immediately if you haven't done it already. Another thing that we've done on and off over the years are, and we still do it in different departments, it's daily stand-ups. If anyone's familiar, it's very popular in the tech industry where you just get together literally for like 1 minute each person. It could be the leadership team or what have you. And hey, what are you working on? What's working? What are you stuck on? And just let everyone just talk and communicate where they're at. Do they need help? What's working for them? And just maintain that environment where people would normally run into each other at the coffee stand or what have you in the morning. Make sure that still exists. And it's really very simple. Like if people are in different time zones, for example, like us, we have it at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It works for most people. So figure that out. Make sure you have that Skype where there's a community and engage in it. And I think it's really important as well if people are new to have your stand-ups. And as David mentioned, and this is really important for us, like your metrics. So whatever that means to your company, like I have one person dedicated full-time. All he does is reports. So we have everyone on a system called WorkSnaps, and it depends on the environment of how you pay your staff. We use a system called WorkSnaps. Essentially, people log in. And the system, and there's many Time Doctor, there's many different systems, and it's going to track their hours logged as well as track the percentage of activity of that time logged. Like, are they watching YouTube or are they clicking their keyboard? And as well as it takes screenshots randomly of their computer. And we've played with this in different departments over the years in different environments. And there have been times where I thought, I don't like that, like feeling like I'm babysitting people or intruding on people. Like, I trust my people. So why would I want to do that? And so over the years, as we've tried different things, I've stuck to it. I've gone back and forth with it, but now we're like on it. I'm staying with it. My number one reason is for like the integrity of the company. Like, it's kind of like, just let them know you're watching in a respectful way. It will prevent people from being tempted to go on Facebook or what have you. So I like it these days just for the integrity and foundation of the company because we have so many people. So you might want to look into that depending if you're paying people per hour or per project. And just make sure that your leadership team, whether that's yourself or other people, is engaged in that Skype or in that Slack. Hey, good morning, everyone. How are you doing? Sometimes I'll send something like inspirational or like some metrics, like congratulating people on performance. That's really key. So reports, environment, like create that company. You don't, whether you're in a building or not, you can still create that community. And I think the stand-ups, especially if it's a new environment for most people, the stand-ups are really helpful to work from home.
Great, Jeanette. And I'll just let you just for a minute talk about, I mean, while it seems a little opportunistic, Jeanette's doing it in a very respectful way, but you kind of shifted your business to, or a business to what you called end of term insurance, which is basically it's burial insurance and things like that. And you have to be really careful with that, given what's going on. And now these estimates of how many people are going to die. But how are you handling that, given the messaging that you have to do with that? And I know it's working for you. So how are you handling that under the circumstances?
We don't mention it at all. There's zero mention whatsoever of anything. It's, you don't need to say it. Everyone knows what's happening. So actually we had done end of term insurance before, and it was like, it wasn't like as big as other products that we do. So we didn't really go deep into it. And then when all of this transpired, a lot of our media went down. Some of our customers were getting supplies from China. So we transitioned everything 100% into health insurance. And so on the health insurance calls, just as reference, we're mentioning zero on that as well. We didn't change our script. We didn't change anything. And Brian, honest to God, response doubled. And that's real. Like, I'll show you the numbers. And we did the numbers prior to all of this. We had a training with Susan, and we brought Susan into the company. So we made sure that we had our numbers like straight so we can track what was going on. So we added the end of term as a downsell for people who didn't proceed on the insurance. And it's really very simple. Hey, while I have you on the line, I understand it's not a good time for you to speak with someone in regards to your health insurance. You may be eligible for $20,000 to $50,000 worth of coverage for your final expense to protect your family from any unexpected troubles. Are you interested in discussing that? Very simple.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. So it's going well. It's good response, but we're not whatsoever mentioning the virus or the environment or anything like that.
Very good.
And it's great.
Can I ask David Deutsch. What's that?
Can I ask a quick question? Go ahead.
If you want
to say something. Yeah. And maybe like this is something that people can share their thoughts during the call, but I'm in a place right now where I'm thinking like we've been very lucky to have not been affected. Like some things got turned off, but we were able to pivot. Our team was already home. But lately I've been thinking like, you know, this could go on for another month or two and things could get affected. Like our buyers of the insurance calls, they're starting to shut down their call centers. They're transitioning their teams into work from home. What if the insurance companies say, wait a minute, we're not taking new policies. This is not good business. So like I have these ideas that it is possible that our campaigns could be turned off. Like not necessarily, I'm not paranoid or freaking out about it. But somebody mentioned like cash flow projections. It's very logical. So I'm just curious to hear other people's ideas of like where you stand with further planning for potential more downfall versus just staying very focused on what's to come in 6 months and taking it from there. I hope that made sense.
Okay, so that'll be out there for everybody to comment on. I wanted to get to, I'll bring it up again, Jeanette, and anybody who wants to bring that up can bring it up. And cash is still really important, and you have to figure out how much cash you need to with a downturn. You have to look at low, medium, high all the time. And so anyway, I'll come back to that. David Deutsch, can you put your video on and your audio on? You probably have bad hair. You having a bad hair day or what?
I'm having a good hair day. I'm outside. Can you see me?
No.
You can't.
No? And you look really handsome now, so that's good.
Well, thank you.
Oh, there you
thank
are.
Thank you. You should be able to see me. Okay.
Yeah, you should shave, but that's okay.
Yeah, I know.
So, David, what are you seeing on the what Tryon was talking about on the compliance? You and I had a discussion. We had a couple of discussions about how you're handling it. I'm curious because someone asked, how's Agora handling it? You might have a sense of that. So anything you can share that would be of use to anyone here, because you're in the thick of it.
Well, you know, I think what Trian is kind of encountering is the increased level of, I don't know, paranoia among networks and media, right? They're very sensitive to be taking advantage, right? And of course, it's always easier to say no to things, right? It's always easier to just say, no, we're not going to do anything, you know, and you're like, but I'm not saying that. I'm not promoting it for coronavirus or anything like that. So they're going to tend to be a lot more careful. And, you know, that's going to result in some problems as it is, you know, with ClickBank. So it's not enough to not be doing, you know, the wrong thing. You've also got to kind of take into account, you've got to seem to not be doing the wrong thing. You've got to be a little more, you know, it's not enough for it to just be legal. Yeah, that makes sense?
It does. Did you have a specific question? Anybody have a specific question on copy, messaging, anything like that, that you're running into at this point?
Yeah. You know, Lori just sent it in the chat. She said, you know, mindful sensitivity is.
Yeah, well, I'm getting to Lori next because I'm getting to Lori next.
Okay.
All right. Lori, punch in. I know sometimes I want you to talk about design and why it's so important and how it links with copy. It's always important. Now it's even more important.
Hey, you guys. Sorry I was late. It's funny that you bring that up because it was a huge emergency and Jack Ford and I had to just, you know, bang it out. And it was exactly that. The wording, the coloring the team was using, the fonts and stuff like that. So just, I apologize for it, but I did want to hop on. So just things such as, even though in direct mail, as we all know, using that bright red, was so imperative and impactful. One of the things we just changed, instead of that winning bright red bar that a lot of us use at the top, we merely put all the copy in black, easy to read, and we put a small, like little triangle that points to that first keyword. Just these voices. What photos worked last week? And I just put it in the chat box. I would not say there's a blanket way to do all of this stuff, you know, from here until whenever it's over. We're taking it day by day, product by product, and week by week. And I can easily report back some notes to you, Brian, that you could share, like, this is what's working, because we're testing so much in so many of these clients of mine. So we're getting quick feedback and readings. But just a day or two ago, we changed what we would have typically done. In like, for example, the bright red or the deep red, we're putting way more blue, trusting blue, a deeper, richer, more mindful orange, something calming. We're still throwing it at them in, you know, the bits and chunks that have always worked to drive it home. We're still doing sales, but we're being very mindful. So anybody that ever wants to throw something to me, this is, well, it's been night and day and all night for a week or two now, just getting back on top of winning things and forcing them into this new look that will reach our reader, but also be mindful of the situation, if that makes sense.
It does.
Lori, can Lori say something too about the wording? Because she's much more articulate about that than I am. You know, just how things need to be phrased, you know, in this age right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like for Gilder and some of these, the Carl Allen piece, even in health and beauty, just having somebody maybe in charge of just really reading, you know, as you know, that we tend to do the specific system and process with everything we do, David and I and others, it's getting in the shoes of the reader. And that's just what I did again with Jack Ford. That headline that worked 2 weeks ago is not going to work now. what is this reader feeling? Everything that comes up on their computer, their phone, their screen, something in the mail is urgent, alert, be careful, all this stuff. So we just sat down with these like 40 words and I just read it to him. He read it back to me. Nuances. And a lot of people are bringing in their customer service. I might've shared that with you, David and Brian, last week from Athletic Greens. They're bringing in customer service, bringing like a home and friendly. And in this case, it's finance and investments and things you must do now to stay on top of that mindful approach. And getting in the shoes of your reader is now more important than ever before.
Yeah, on the financial, and I think I'm going to ask Walter to comment on this, because on the financial, it's changing so quickly day to day, you know, 1,000 points up, 1,000 points down, all of that. So, I mean, being current is very different than being current 3 weeks ago. Walter, can you comment on that and tell people what you guys are doing? Because I think what you're doing is really, really good.
Yeah, so for those who don't know, we really have what amounts to a weekly sales webinar business model. And so we run about three or four live webinars a week. And so we're able to stay pretty current on a weekly basis. Am I coming in?
Yeah, you're good.
Okay. So we're able to stay current on a pretty current, you know, in touch with what people are buying and what they're not and what tweaks are needed. In addition to that, Ian started a daily newsletter, Brian. It was daily coronavirus alerts that focuses mainly on the big health and investment implications of what's going on. It's turned out to be really popular for us. It's quickly becoming one of our larger free e-letters. And finally, Ian is just, he started doing a subscriber free webinar at 4 o'clock on Wednesdays, just to talk about what his current market outlook is, how he thinks things are gonna unfold in the coming week, particular stocks that he thinks are gonna be good. And it's a number of people today have talked about the importance of listening. And we really, you know, we use it to communicate our views, but we also use these webinars to listen. And I can tell you that, you know, our customers right now are, they're still in buy the dip mode. Okay. I would say at least half of them are in buy the dip mode and the other half are holding onto their stocks, and a relative few have been scared out of the market. And it's going to be very interesting to see. I mean, I guess what I'm saying is that at least in our part of the world, people are expecting sort of a V-shaped recovery. We're going to get through this and then we're going to bounce back and everything's going to be great. And you know, I think I'm old enough to at least remember the last time we had a grinding, you know, multi-year bear market where, you know, what we're looking for is when people say, I don't want to see another stock. I don't want to hear about the stock market. And I think that we need to pay close attention, probably beyond, you know, the financial marketing business of, you know, are people going to get to the point where there's a lot more despair, a lot more sort of throwing in of the towel? But we're, long story short, we're, I guess the third thing I would mention is that we are definitely, like others, looking beyond the current situation. And so we're working on a major, you know, promotional acquisition effort, you know, and our approach is to not talk about what's happening now or what's happening in the next 6 months, but what happens when the new normal really takes effect, And some of the major changes that this thing is going to cause have already occurred. What does the world look like then? And how can you prosper in your investments as a result?
Yeah, that's, I mean, anything you can do to forward pay when it's over, but still paying attention to what's happening now is really, I think it's a great approach, because it's, you know, it's not false hope. It's just, you know, letting people know that and trying to stay ahead of it. I think that's really good. Thanks, Walter. And thanks, Lori. And thanks, everybody who's participated. I want to go to, is Joe, are you on now? I know you've come in and out. Joe Polish. Yeah, he's probably doing something.
No, I'm here.
Oh, you're there. Can you, I mean, you've been, I good to see you. I've been, I was on the Genius Network live a little bit, but I was too busy. I shouldn't say that. I should never be too busy for Genius Network, but, and you're here. So can you give you're like in a lot of different places that a lot of us are not, in terms of not just the addiction space, but you're in other calls and probably with War Room and other people. And can you give a state of the union of what you're seeing and anything that we've talked about here today that's either off base or you can build on? Just, you know, give us your thoughts, because I think they'll be really useful.
Okay, well, what I did on March 13th, I actually had a team meeting with my entire team, 14, full-time employees, on how to handle a crisis, what we're going to do. And I filled out an impact filter, and I actually did a podcast with Dan Sullivan on 10X Talk, and people can download my hand. I mean, I can even go over it with you guys here if you want me to. It's like how I laid out everything with my team. And I got everyone in a mindset that we're about to go into a shitstorm. And I didn't know at that time. I mean, it's amazing how quickly the world has changed in just a matter of a few weeks, right?
Absolutely. And I will say that I'm being in New York. It's such an extreme mess here, and I don't want to go outside at all. I mean, and I don't know what's it going to be like in Arizona or anywhere else in the country. But if it's anything like this, yeah, shitstorm.
Go ahead. Yeah, well, as of Tuesday this week in Arizona, there's, you know, the governor ordered, you know, we stay at home and no one goes to the office, and other than takeout restaurants and, you know, essential services, which is, I think, happening or has happened almost everywhere in the country. So in terms of where I'm at, I luckily have been very good with not putting myself in financial situations. So I have some runway. I'm not going to let anyone go. I give every one of my team members $1,000 at that day and said, go get supplies, go get anything you need. And just so that we could have the confidence of the team. I think Robert said that earlier about you really focus on who you work with, because no matter how scared the entrepreneurs are, they're looking at you as for leadership, right? And so part of it is keeping everyone in check mentally, and because everyone's scared, right? So what I'm doing is I'm in the mode of just serving, not selling. Almost daily, we're putting out what we consider useful content and information on the CARES Act. On Sunday, I did an interview with my financial advisor, Jim Dew, he's been for over 20 years, and a CPA, Tony Rose, who's another Genius Network member, and just describing everything that entrepreneurs can do in order to, you know, take advantage of the available funds. So most people that are, you know, unless they're over $10 million and stuff, can have 2 months worth of payroll and all expenses completely paid for right now. And you got to apply for it right now, though, because once that pool of money is gone, it's gone. So, right. You know, I'm not an expert in that area, but they are. So I'm going to people that are experts. I interviewed Mansoor Muhammad, one of the top genetic doctors in the world, on what to do with COVID, how to think about it, what you can do with your immunity. So I'm putting out not just how to think about your business. I mean, you're actually on my list of someone I want to interview. I want to talk, do an interview with you, and maybe at the upcoming meeting. But I'm just putting out content every day, and we're putting.
You know, I'm getting it. It's really valuable. It's the Muhammad article is sitting on my desk here, and I was gonna I was going to just, you know, send the link to everybody in Titans, and I'm sure that's okay, right?
Oh, of course. Yeah. I mean, like I have a website that we put everything on that I'm creating since it started that's available to everybody. It's just free.
Yeah, that in itself is a technique, you know, in terms of over delivery of, you know, you've got this you know, the Genius Network members get a lot more obviously than anybody else, but now's the time to sort of like give it away as much as you can. And that'll, you know, I'm not saying you're doing it because you're going to get members after this is over, but you will get members after this is over by doing that, because they're utilizing you, you're enhancing them, you're appreciating them, and you know, they will come to you, and it serves the purpose both ways. So that's great.
Yeah. So, I mean, here's how I'm doing it. So for instance, I did my first Genius Network virtual live event, and we had about 73 people at the peak were on. Most of them, 95% of everyone was on for 2 days straight from 9 to 5, Thursday and Friday. We're doing another one in a couple of weeks. And some of the interviews that I felt would be most useful just to the public were like Stedman Graham, Oprah's partner. And I had Andre Norman, who's the ex-convict who spent 14 years in maximum security prison. And now he just helps kids in schools and runs prisons. Amazing guy. And he spent 2 years in solitary confinement. And so I wanted people to be like, okay, well, we're locked up for, you know, weeks, right, or months. What about a guy who had no phone, nothing? I mean, he even talked about he had a pet cockroach, like literally in solitary confinement for 2 years. Just if you could imagine, I mean, I couldn't imagine that, but it's just, so I'm bringing things to people to give them some perspective of how do you handle real hard times. And Stedman was, you know, in the house next to Oprah, quarantined, right? He couldn't even hang out with Oprah. And he was just talking about, he used to be a prison guard years ago. So we did an interview and all the Genius Network members could speak with him, but then we recorded that and now we're putting that out. I mean, people can just watch it and it's really helpful. And then same thing with Mansoor Muhammad. I let my members talk to them. Next week, on Tuesday, I'm doing an interview with Kathy Colby and we'll put it on a Zoom and we'll invite members on Zoom, but we're also gonna simultaneously put it on our Facebook group. And they can interact. And then once we record it, and it's about the educational system. What do you do with parents that are home with kids, college students that can't go to college? What's going to happen to the educational system now that, you know, she's 80 years old too. And I, you know, and she's like in 80 years of her life, she's never seen anything like this. And so we're going to talk about that. So that's the content I'm putting out, things related to health. Now here's the bigger thing. In the last 2 days, two of what one person that everyone here would know, I'm just not going to mention the person's name, a partner reaches out to me, tried to commit suicide. And then that was now 3 days ago. And then yesterday, another, and these two women that were partners of these guys, they're men, her husband tried to commit suicide yesterday. So we're about to, and these are people with children and just have made, in many cases, millions of dollars and just stressed out of their mind during recessions, wars, economic crisis, certain something like this, mental illness goes through the roof. So I think you're about to see one of the biggest mental health crises the world has ever seen. Addiction, depression, anxiety, suicide, spousal abuse is up, child abuse is up. So when you put people into a pressure cooker, so more than anything, keeping your own mental state in check, going out, and getting sunshine, taking breaks, not staring at screens all day long, getting sleep, drinking water continuously, all these basic things on health that you would hear are more important right now because everyone's environment has been completely shifted and altered. Loneliness, single people. You know, I mean, the amount of individuals in the world that have no money, that have lost every, you know, they don't have anything saved up. I mean, it's really, really mentally tough. So I'm just doing as much as I can in the addiction world to just put out content. You know, we had a board, I have 11 board members for Genius Recovery Foundation. And we're like, you know, let's figure out how we can just put as much content out about where to find virtual meetings worldwide. Because, you know, there are millions of people in the world that rely on 12-step groups as part of their recovery that they can't go to 12-step groups anymore. And where do they go, right? They're alone. And so the best they can do is connect virtually. So more than anything is bonding with your clients, letting them know you care, that sort of stuff. Now, if you're in a cash flow situation, the best information I've seen, which again, we put, is it okay for me to give out that site? I'm not trying to do anything here. That
yes, is, absolutely, Joe. Absolutely.
Not, put it in the, nothing's being sold there. It's Genius.
No, Network. No. That doesn't matter. Just put it in the chat.
Yeah. It's geniusnetworkinsights.com. If someone could type that in there, geniusnetworkinsights.com.
Okay, I'll do it.
But I can do it after I'm done talking here. There's Keith Cunningham, who's my friend who wrote the book, The Road Less Stupid. He lost.
He was supposed to come to our event in Austin.
Yeah. He lost $100 million back in the 80s during the real estate crash. It took him 3 years of therapy and just everything just was insane. He's put out the best content that I've seen about what to do right now with your business, how to stop the bleeding, how to just everything related to the 13 steps you must take. Cash is still king. How to think about this. And I put that information on that site.
That's great. That's great.
And you know, that's a lifesaver to some people. I've sent it to some people whose businesses have been decimated. They've lost everything. And they're like, that has been so helpful, at least, you know, to minimize, you know, some people you just have to go into yourself internally. And he has a process called thinking time where I really think everyone would be well served to spend some time just writing and thinking, because you got a whole group of people here that are incredibly resourceful. But if you're in a reactive state versus a responsive state, you just don't make good decisions. So my whole thing is, what do you need to do to respond to this, not react? Because most of the world is reacting, not responding. And even if you feel like completely screwed, that still whatever you need to do to get yourself in that state. So that's not a marketing strategy, but it's a life strategy. And I think
absolutely good stuff, Joe. And, you know, I applaud you for what you're doing. And what are the dates of the next Genius Network?
Oh, and by the way, if anyone's struggling with addiction or anyone, geniusrecovery.org is what we have, and it doesn't sell anything. It's just all resources. The next Genius Network meeting is April 16th.
I have it. Okay. I have a couple of appointments in each of those days, but I'm going to try to leave them open now, and I'll come on. And if you want to do something with me, I'd be glad to. I don't know if I'll be able to add that much, but I can do that.
And I can do something with you, and we can invite every one of your Titans if they want to watch what it is we're doing, because we're learning everything we can about doing virtual events, breakout sessions, and I'm doing my best to share that with people just so they can see how we do it. Awesome. And it worked really well. They loved it. And I didn't know how to do any of this shit like a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, right? No, the second day was completely different than the first day. You know, it was like, good job. Thanks, Joe. Yeah,
thanks, man. I wish everyone the best. And I have to run in a bit, but I'll stand for a few more minutes. But thank you.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah. Noda, you want to just share a little bit of what you've been going through and with landing pages and different offers? Noda's got a business that you have to show up to get his services, and now they can. So he's being pretty resourceful. So just give a overview of what you're.
Yeah. So, like real quick about me. So I have a practice that I've doubled down on Medicare age people, 65 and older. Our median age in our practice is about 72, 73 years old. And then our clients in our marketing business, we've doubled down on marketing to that same demographic and putting them into seminars. So needless to say, it was a little bit of a cash flow shock. I talked to Brian, talked to a bunch of other people, and right now we're doing a couple of things. So one of the things that we're doing is, since doing a bunch of these little mini seminars is not working, we quit doing that a while ago. We decided to just really double down on trying to make a much better telemedicine marketing campaign. So like most of the people in our marketing space are just running an ad to come directly into the office. But the problem is that I have patients actually coming into my office. So I actually reopened. I talked to my attorney, said I could, as long as they're in pain. And that's working. It's just like getting new people to come directly into the office. They either have to be on fire or they're not coming in. So like what I'm doing is if I talk to them on the phone, get some trust first, they're going to come in. So I sent Brian some pages and basically we're going to just run a campaign for things that they could do at home for knee pain, things they could do at home for nerve pain, things that they could do at home for sciatica. And it talks about different kinds of treatments. And then the goal is to kind of drive them to a phone consultation and then, you know, gain some trust. And then for the ones that don't convert on that, we drive them towards a webinar and again, a phone consultation. And then the ones after that is talking more directly about the treatment and getting them to come in. And eventually when this thing is over, we will have built up a list and then we can market for our seminar thing. And what I want to do with our clients is some of them don't want to change anything, which is silly. Some of them are curled up in the fetal position, sucking their thumbs, but they're going to go out of business if they do that. So we need to do something for them. And we're going to be doing these services at like a extremely discounted rate that compared to what we normally charge, but that's going to keep them in the habit of continuing to market and keeping the lights on. Another thing that I'm thinking about that's an opportunity for us is that this is probably an opportunity of gaining market share. So like I was spent a bit of time just kind of reading up on Great Depression, reading up on like the dot-com bust, reading up on like the 08 crash and just kind of trying to figure out like what we can do. And like one of the things that happened in the Great Recession or the Depression is that some of the companies created a fighting brand, which is kind of a low cost leader to kind of gain clients almost at a loss. So it wasn't gonna hurt their existing brand. So they didn't have to offer it for a discounted price. And then I was, you know, reading up on like how Sony kind of screwed up in 99 because they cut too hard. And then when you cut too hard and play just nothing but defense, you can't come out of this. So essentially they just said strategic cuts and strategic marketing. And then I read Keith Cunningham's book and I was already doing a bunch of that stuff. So right now, I guess the thing that we're focusing on is this telemedicine type thing, trying to gain market share. And then I was thinking about simultaneously doing kind of like what you guys are talking about is doing a campaign for giving out a bunch of good free information, kind of like what Joe's doing right now. You know, like things that they could do about fixing their site, putting together content, putting together videos, putting together processes, trying to figure out what our doctors can do with this downtime. And then, you know, some of them may bubble up into a client in the future.
Yeah, I sent you an email today about getting, and this is where, you know, you want to get into the accelerator group, because a lot of those people, they're not curled up, you know, sucking their thumbs, because they're really, really interested in keeping their business going, but they're, a lot of them are really stuck. And I think if you go on there, answer the three questions that I gave you, and under question two about what you have for them, I think, you know, that you have capacity in the marketing techniques that you use. And if you're willing to, you know, not go right in and get a client, but basically, as you said, you know, let them try it, give them a sampling, you already have it built, and then, you know, it could lead to clients, but don't go in with that. I think you'll get clients again if they utilize you and you enhance them, you're well on your way to you know, getting a client and without even selling them. So I would suggest that. And so hopefully you will take me up on that. It's free. And
yeah, like we're the
same thing.
Yeah. And that was like the other thing I forgot. Yeah. Like the other thing, yeah, going into the Titans thing. Cause like we have, you know, like I think a relatively unique team. So we have like developers with marketing automation, with people that do copy and marketing. And then like, I think right now with some of our downtime, we're talking about maybe finding a strategic partner where probably don't want to do totally custom stuff, but like something that follows a similar process. So like a service-based business person. So we could build it out, because essentially
there's 150 people in. There's 150 people in there. A lot of them are service companies, all kinds, copywriters. So I'm actually, this is for everybody. Get in there. Get in there. It's free. It's something you want to do. You don't have to really sell. You can, I'll give you the, so it's three questions. You go in there, introduce yourself. You say who you are and how you help your customers and clients, how you can help others in the group, and how, what you need help with. And you got 150 people who are really eager to help you as much as you're going to help them. So I encourage you all to go in there. And thanks, Noda. That was really good. Nancy and Cindy, we had a really good conversation about, and I think I just realized you should go into there as well, because you've got a lot of solutions, both on the creative side and the marketing side, to help those people. I don't know if Nancy or Cindy want to talk for a minute on some of the stuff that you're doing. Yeah, there you go. Audio off. Right? Audio on.
I just need to find it on my screen. and Sin, you should totally jump in here as well. We it's funny. We've got a lot of people in the financial space. So I, you know, really can identify with what Walter was saying about, you know, this essentially constant motion, right, for creative. You know, what worked 5 days ago, you know, maybe, you know, it continues to change, and just listening to what customers are responding to. But we've also got, you know, we had a food client who can't keep, you know, anchovy stuffed olives in stock. Like they've added mailings, not just for their email, but they've actually accelerated their catalog mailings. And so we're really just kind of helping them to find the right customers, but they're not even really changing their, they're changing their messaging, right? They're changing them to be about, you know, home barbecues, right? Ways that you can creatively cook with things, maybe pantry items that you've got at home, plus some of their products, that kind of thing. But in their direct mail, they're just exactly the same catalogs, and they're just doing incredibly well. They're up over 100% year over year in just in the last, you know, really from February to March, which has been pretty interesting to watch.
Yeah, it's like it's luxury food, right? And now you're going for people who might not. I mean, everybody needs the delivery. Not everybody has the money, so you have
right.
to. Yeah.
I was not expecting them to go up that fast because it is luxury food. But what they're finding is that especially for the house files, right, for the clients who know that frozen Spanish bread is the best, which by the way, really is good. They're all coming back and buying it, not even just in bulk, but, you know, combinations of things, you know, from all of the recipes and stuff. It's been pretty interesting to see.
That's great. Cindy, is Cindy on?
She should be.
A lot of people are just either muted or they're doing something else. We have Richard Rossi is on the line. Richard Rossi, our former Titan, and we've been in touch quite a bit, and he's also been in other calls that I've been on, and I wanted to get a perspective from him, and he has some challenges with his big live event and some other things. So Richard, just a quick state of the union from you and what you could share that could be helpful and what you would want some help with.
Well, thank you. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
All right, beautiful. I'm such a pleasure to see some faces there that I haven't seen in quite a while. I am on hiatus, but I will be back to Titans. It's an amazing group of people. So I'm happy to be with you today. And I will say, first of all, as you guys know, I do two extremely large events each year. If you can see my screen, can you guys see that? So
yes.
That's the event. There's 10,000 people there. That's me, that little person on the stage. And then I do another one of those back to back. They're high school students and they're also adults. And it's at the end of June. This could be a problem. So we are going to, we may move the Congress, we call it the Congress, to August, though that still could be problematic. But we will also, in all likelihood, be creating a digital version. And it's a very interesting challenge because, first of all, we have thousands of people who are going to be participating. And secondly, when you're dealing with high school kids, you better not just be talking at them or you're going to lose them. So creating community and interactivity is our goal. And we're out looking for digital resources to build what can be TED conference meets Tony Robbins event meets rock concert kind of feel, and be able to give people small group breakout group capabilities, voting, social coming across the bottom, being able for groups to sing together. We're being super, super creative, bringing in animated elements. And the thought is not only to create a fantastic experience for these young people, but perhaps a platform that could in some ways transform our own business. And that leads to, well, first of all, I'll put it out there that if folks have resources in terms of platforms that have a lot of interactivity and community built in, I would love to know about it. But it brings me to the big question I've been pondering, because we're all in the shit together right now, right? In terms of some people are doing better than ever, some are completely out of work, some are just trying to keep their head above water. But this will end, and things will be very much the same when it ends, and somewhat different. So the question is, like, for us as marketers and entrepreneurs, where is the puck going to be? Not where is the puck now? And there's no good answer to that, but our ability to predict that and prepare for that, in addition to just surviving now, is really the key to our future. Where is that puck going to be when the crisis ends? And I've been spending a lot of time just thinking about that. And then the last thing I would say is, and I believe this has been discussed already, but I got to reemphasize it, you must apply for the SBA. There's two opportunities. The first is money for staff and overhead, which is a loan, but then converts into a grant. And then there's also disaster assistance, which is at a very low interest rate and can have a repayment term as long as 30 years. Both are available to everyone on this call. And I suggest that you jump on it, because why the hell wouldn't you? And there's no early prepayment penalty, and cash is king. So I'm highly on that. And I suggest everyone be highly on that, because we need to collect as much cash as we can right now and husband it. And that's one of the ways to do it in fairly quickly. So that's my whole.
Yeah, thanks, Richard. I did mine 2 days ago, and I think I got in time. We'll see if I see the money in my bank account, and it's going to be a good, you know, anything is helpful at this time.
Yeah, I mean, it's the real deal. There's an enormous amount of money out there, and they're ready to give it out. But from my perspective, just to summarize, it's going from a live event to a highly interactive community, interactive feel, digital event that can inspire young people and teach them and motivate them. it's exciting. I've got a lot of great folks on the staff who are finding incredible resources out there that I never knew existed, which I will share, all of which I will share with the group.
Oh, thank you. And it's we were on Evan Pagan's call, and you know, there are a bunch of people already. I don't know what you'll take from what you heard from those people who are already converting to virtual from live. But you and I had a discussion that said, well, live isn't going away, but if you have a virtual, you could have both, and you could have, you know, if it works out. I think it's an and, not an or, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. And
I think the really big unanswered question is, when this is all over, can you charge as much for a digital event as a live event, or does it not matter because you can make it up in volume and lifetime value?
Right.
That's really the fascinating question.
Said by a true direct marketer. Thank you, Richard. Let's see. We have about 15 minutes, so I just want to get to everybody. I think we can get to everybody. So who, Kim, do you have anything that you want to share? We didn't do a one-on-one, so I don't know what you're up to in Hawaii, but anything you want to share? Because you have some stuff that would be very valuable to your clients right now.
Yeah, aloha.
Aloha.
I've been spending a lot of time in Zoom meetings with clients. Pretty much have all of my clients in the queue for the SBA assistance. My business, it doesn't appear, is going to be terribly affected, although I do have some clients that their business is being affected. I do work with a lot of real estate investors, and practically every one of my clients that's a real estate investor has had calls from tenants saying they're not going to be able to pay their rent. So we're working on a lot of strategies to deal with that.
What is, and just so everybody knows, just tell them what your business is.
So I do tax and financial strategy for closely held businesses and wealthy people. And my big niches are real estate investors, and then I also do a lot of consultants, that kind of thing. Some medical people.
It seems to me that, yeah, you're in a position to be able to offer a lot to them during this period, and even, you know, switch gears a little bit into something that you might not be as expert in, but expert enough to help them as well. So, if you want to get a call with me, I'd love to brainstorm with you a little bit.
And, yeah, we'll definitely do that.
Okay, good. And I don't know if anybody has any thoughts for Kim, but you can pop it in the. Let's see, I'm looking at the chat, but anybody can put something in the chat for him. I just want to get to everybody quickly. Thanks, Kim.
Okay.
Jeff,
thank you.
Thanks. Jeff, you've got some interesting stuff going on. I mean, Jeff's got two businesses that are directly either affected or are in the mix of this thing, which is he's got senior living homes and he's got pharmacies. And I think the senior living homes, I don't know. The more I thought about it after our call, I don't know if I want to touch that, you know, too much, except with the kind of ads that you're doing with the nursing staff and all of that. But the pharmacies, I think there's a lot of opportunity there. What are you doing right now that would be, that you think is, you know, could help you through this period, and ideas that for the other titans?
Yeah, I mean, the challenges that we're having are quite a bit different than what a lot of other business owners are having. And we have the customers, we have the clients coming in. Our challenge is very different. We're trying to convince our staff to come to work in the face of all this panic to deliver those frontline healthcare right. services. And we have, you know, our costs have increased enormously. We've had to increase wages, give people hazard pay, and put in place all sorts of other precautions. So our our problems are very different, but we're still experiencing some significant challenges. And if the virus gets into one of those seniors' homes, I mean, it's just horrific what's going on in homes across the country, and that's our main concern. But, you know, there's been a number of sort of revelations I've had through this, and I thought of a couple of them that I think are applicable, even though our industry is maybe quite different than the industries you are all in. I think some of the takeaways are applicable. And the first one's on communication and messaging. We're doing an awful lot of communicating right now with our clients and with our staff to try to put them at ease and to try and to help them understand what they can do to protect themselves, and in doing so, protect the most vulnerable, our residents.
And, are you getting all the PPEs that you need, or I can't believe that's become like an acronym for everybody now. You know, it's like
we're getting that, but you know, Brian, what's really dawned on me through this is it's not business as usual. I mean, the PPEs are only as effective as the staff are effective in keeping themselves protected when they're not at home. And the takeaway I've learned from this, and I think it's applicable to all of your businesses, is the credibility of the messenger. You know, at a time like this, normally the CEO would be the one talking on behalf of the organization, and that would be me. But I've actually taken a step back. I'm actively involved. I'm involved daily in our response, but I've put our healthcare staff out front. I think in a time like this, people want to hear from people that are deemed to be credible. I think we're all getting bombarded with messages from people that frankly have no business, in some cases, advising and preaching on the kind of response that they're preaching on. And we've put our nurses and our pharmacists out front and have used it as an opportunity to demonstrate authority. And that's been resonating. We've been invited on the local news and on radio stations to talk about our profession and how we're responding. So while other owners are doing that communication themselves, we're not. We're actually letting our healthcare professionals stand out front. And I think that's something we can all sort of take away from this, is the power of credibility and authority in delivering a message. And I think
we talked about it in both. So on the senior living homes, you've been putting your nurses out front and basically saying, you know, and not so much, they're not COVID commercials. They're basically how they care for your mother and father and for the residents. But then in the pharmacy space, you and I brainstormed a little bit about that it's not the pharmacist, but it would be the doctor. And we talked about either getting a retired doctor who interacts with the pharmacist, that the pharmacists have our back and all of that. Were you able to make any sense of what we talked about there and been able to, you know, take that a step further?
Yeah, we had a great conversation on that, Brian, and it's something that we're looking into. The challenge is finding physicians that share, that are big picture enough thinkers to realize that other healthcare professionals have a role to play. Certainly attaching yourself to somebody of authority in a time like this, I think is very important, because people, I saw a survey recently from the US, I mean, people don't trust what's coming out of the White House. They don't trust what business owners say. And I think we all need to take a step back and realize that not everybody has the ethics that we all have, and they view our messages with skepticism. And I think now is a time to put people with authority in front and delivering the message that people need to hear.
It's a great, great lesson, Jeff. Really is. And I think it applies to more of our businesses than we think. So thank you.
Thank you.
Kathleen, you and I had some interesting conversations about messaging and how to deal with what you're dealing with, which is basically getting people to give donations to things that might not have anything to do with the coronavirus, but how do you make it more relevant? Have you had any, I know you checked in with all your clients, any aha moments, anything that would be useful for the group?
We've just spent a lot of time with our clients trying to identify how this crisis might impact their organization. So when they write about COVID-19, they're not cussing that as a problem, but they're talking about what is the impact of that, and why do they need a donor's help as much or more now than they normally would. And we found a lot of places with our clients, one by one, identifying some messaging that would be really helpful for them.
Yeah, I've seen some of the stuff that you're going to work on, and I think it's going to be good. Anything specific that you can sort of?
I didn't hear the last part of your comment there, Brian.
I muted myself. Can you share anything specific that would be just to give people a little idea, Bull?
Yeah, absolutely. So, for example, we have a veterans client that helps the most severely wounded from Iraq and Afghanistan and the war on terror. So we kind of crafted their messaging, and I'm happy to share these with a group just if it gives anybody any ideas at all. But so we talked about, for them, often the spouse is the caregiver. She can only work a few hours part-time on an hourly basis away from home to supplement that disability payment they're getting. Then generally the spouse of the severely wounded is in the exact target group of people across the country who are all losing their jobs. So while that organization is going to see requests for emergency financial aid skyrocket. Our law enforcement groups, obviously, they're in the front lines right now. In my county here, they're actually stopping people and saying, hey, where are you driving to? They're coming into contact with a lot of people. Well, I have a client and then simultaneously, a lot of people are being released from prisons in some places. So it's a more dangerous environment for them. And I have a client who provides free training and free equipment for law enforcement. So we can make some connection there. My political clients, for example, if you're working on turning out Catholic voters, well, now you can say, okay, they support Trump. They can say, okay, look, Donald Trump can't do rallies. He can't campaign. He can't knock door to door. We're moving all our programs online, and now we need massive amount of help to take what was done old school and do it via geofencing and much more integrated technology, which they were already had developed that. It's just now a question of expanding it. So client by client, we go through and do that. We also, to reiterate a couple things other people have said, people do business with people, and people donate to people. So we really we do a tremendous amount of communication with our clients on phone right now and on a regular basis, even more so than we normally did. And we really are encouraging them to do a lot of, do a teletown hall and try to get 10,000 donors on the phone. You know, how do you become more of a person and less of an organization? Do more Facebook live videos, videotape yourself on your cell phone at your home office and email it out. There's a company called ThankView that I'm recommended to a lot of my nonprofits because inexpensively they can actually send, I don't know if I've sent that to you, Brian, they can send videos, but they're personalized. They look like an envelope and it'll say Kathleen Patton.
You did send that to me. Yes.
Click it. Your taped message shows up to your donor. Like, David, that might be something interesting for you to use with your customers. A lot of colleges use it. So we really, really.
What's that called?
It's called ThankView. I believe it's thankview.com, and it's very affordable. A lot of colleges and nonprofits are starting, the larger national nonprofits are starting to use it. So we're really trying to take advantage of this crisis as much as we can to get clients who have been, not really heavily engaging via video and via telephone with their donors to do that more. We struggle with our direct mail appeals. I know from testing, if I send a letter, if I deploy a 30 or 45 second taped message to the person around the time that letter is delivering, and I say, tell them I'm so-and-so calling about, I just sent you an important letter in a blue envelope. It'll, when you see it in the mailbox, you know, please open it, blah, blah, blah. Never ask for money. That deploying that little short message ahead of the letter delivering can lift response to our letters 25-30%.
Yeah, we had that experience as well.
And then, you know, chasing afterwards with an email and just basically putting the direct mail letter in an email format and chasing it. And, you know, a lot of clients have been resistant to go all in on those relatively simple things. So this has been a good opportunity to get them to stretch beyond what they normally would, because they're really terrified of, you know, these nonprofits are mostly dependent upon voluntary donations. The good news is, that the from everything we're seeing, I check every single day how many letters are you know, are coming back to our clients from the donors and potential donors around the country. And the you know, there's sometimes maybe it's off by 15% here or there, maybe somebody's down a little. I have some areas where it's actually up. So as far as our client base, it's off a very small percentage, the numbers are. So that's really encouraging to us.
Good.
In talking to clients, I have found there are two areas where they report that they are internally with the fundraising they do internally where they're seeing an impact right now. And one is the major donor who's making large gifts or making large pledges, that the high-end people are not necessarily saying, I'm not going to give you money, but they're saying, I'm going to have to put this off till the fall. It's not that they're saying no, they're just buying themselves some time to see how all this fleshes out. And then the other place we're reporting some impact is actually the low dollar continuity sustainer programs, the people who are, you know, donating $20 a month. And that is the other place where they're seeing it, less so in the normal donor who makes a couple donations a year, but the people who have something being deducted out of their bank account or charged to their credit card on a monthly basis, they're getting a higher number of people calling in and saying, I need you to stop charging me.
Yeah. Really good data. Trying to keep those people in, I guess, would be an interesting thing. Like, I have a membership, and if they cancel, I try to keep them in, but they're not going to stay in. But I think on a, you know, I don't know if you could get them to go to a lower figure or something like that, but there might be, or at least suspend for 3 months. There's probably some things you can do to try to keep them, to save them. But it's a challenge.
Right. Yeah. And I really want to reiterate, who was making the point about credibility. I think that
Jeff was, yeah.
Jeff. I think that's really important. And that's actually something we're focusing on a lot. And in the, you know, just increasing, you know, for an ideological client, do they have a picture with them and the president, do they have a picture with them and some, you know, people that donors would recognize, maybe a celebrity that a 75-year-old direct mail donor might recognize. And it's funny how you, in times like this, things come out of the blue. So, you know, we talk about this with our clients, every conversation, every phone call, every meeting. And all of a sudden yesterday I get an email and it's a letter that President Reagan wrote one of our clients, in I don't know, let's say 1980. And so a year and a half, 2 years of working with this new client, never said a word about the letter. And in the middle of all this, all of a sudden I have this great letter that has that from, you know, Ronald Reagan, somebody the donors love, that has a really amazing quote in it that I'm going to be able to pull out and use with his photo all over the place, that, you know, if it weren't for this crisis, they may never have even thought to share that to me. It was hanging on their wall.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's going to happen a lot. I mean, and your guys, I think, will get used to the different ways of using video, using email, all of those things. And after this is over, they're going to be that much more sophisticated because of it. So keep them moving on that. So that'll be really good for you.
And I think it will help us as a company, you know.
Yes.
When you've been around for you know, since the 60s, we don't use as much, as big as we are with 70, 75 people, we don't use as much tools like Slack and other tools. Most of our employees are physically here and they're in day-to-day close communication with each other. So this is actually also, I think, really gonna help us stretch and grow a little bit more as well.
Yeah, good stuff, Kathleen. I think we have, Edie, it looks like you're on your iPhone. Are you still there? You've hung out for a while. I just wanted to see if you were there. Edie's from Christian Broadcasting Network. I would have loved to have heard her on what she's doing with all the TV that people are watching these days, but we can get her next time, I guess. And Marco Luzzo might still be on, or Francesco. Marco, are you still on? No. Okay. I think we've gone a little over 2 hours. I think we had a lot of ideas, a lot of good stuff. We'll have the recording available for everybody quickly. As soon as I get it, I'll have Carla convert it and we'll get it out to everybody, both people who are on the call and people who weren't. And then I'm going to share it with the accelerator group. And again, I'll say this for the purpose of the recording as well. Everybody in Titan's Mastermind, this is a, you know, if you didn't go on to the accelerator group before, now's the time. You should have been on already, but get in there. There's a lot of people that could use your help. It could lead to business indirectly or directly. And, you know, I think it's a win-win because you could help them and they can help you. Any other final thoughts from anybody or a question or? Well, this was good. We went a little longer, but I think we lost a bunch of people, but that doesn't matter because it's all going to be recorded. And I will do another one of these probably in a couple of weeks and see if we can get a different group or different people to show up, and plus all of you. And I'll bet 2 weeks from now, it'll be like 2 months. So you'll have new ideas and stuff that's changing so fast. So thank you everybody for hanging in for so long. Let me know if you want me to change the format of these or you have other ideas for me to do. I already admitted that I'm stuck in my house and I have a lot of time. So we can do whatever you guys want. I really appreciate all of you. So thank you.
Thank you, Brian. Thanks, Brian. Everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. Bye, guys.